You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras as we tour the American League East. I'm Tim McMaster. This week, we make some bold predictions for the 2016 season. We start with our Red Sox reporter, Ian Brown.
We're going to go with some bold predictions for 2016. So the way this is going to work, I'll throw out the bold prediction. You can tell me if you agree or disagree and your reasoning for why or why not. So let's get right into it. Bold prediction number one, Hanley Ramirez will start 100 games at first base. At least 100, we should say.
I like that prediction. I think it's going to come true. Look, everyone in Red Sox Nation would love for the Red Sox to trade Hanley Ramirez based on one season where he didn't produce offensively or defensively and had some injury problems. But that's exactly why Hanley is going to be so driven to sort of prove the critics wrong this year. And I think that he's been very motivated in his offseason conditioning. He likes David Ortiz a lot and knows that it's David's last year. So I think he'd like to go out and give David as good a chance to win as possible as last year. So I think you're going to see a very motivated Hanley in 2016.
Besides his bat in the lineup, the first base side of this, is that basically if he's going to be in the lineup every day, he's going to have to be at first base that many times because there's not really anywhere else for him to be right now?
Yeah, I mean, unless there's a problem with David Ortiz somewhere along the line, or maybe even Pablo Sandoval, I really don't see an opportunity for Hanley really to play anywhere else on the diamond. So first base is his slot. We're going to find out in starting in spring training how well he adjusts to that. He seems more comfortable about this switch than he did with the switch to the outfield. So we're just going to have to see how it plays out. But the Red Sox are certainly planning on him playing that many games at first.
All right, you mentioned David Ortiz. Bold prediction number two has to do with Big Poppy and his final season as a Red Sox. David Ortiz will hit 30 homers.
Ooh, that is a bold prediction. I'm going to go just a tick under. I'm going to say he's going to hit somewhere between 25 and 27. You know, it's a lot to ask this guy to keep hitting 30 home runs every year. I know he had a huge year last year. I think he hit 36. He was very driven to get to 500, last year. But, I think that, father time gets all of us. And I think David will have a good year. It's going to be a 30 home run year.
Okay, we're going to switch things up, go to the pitching for a little bit here. And the biggest new Red Sox, obviously, in the offseason was the signing of David Price to that huge contract. Will David Price live up to that is a big question mark. The way I'll go with the bold prediction is David Price will win his second career Cy Young Award.
Will win the Cy Young Award, is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he has a good shot, but I'd say he'll be in the top five. I don't know if he's going to win it. I think that usually when a player comes to Boston on a big contract like this, I think there's going to be an initial adjustment period where he gets used to the market, he gets used to his surroundings. I think maybe he'll get off to kind of a so-so start, and he'll finish with a pretty good year. But I think the average start I think he's going to have, I think will cost him the Cy Young. But I'll still say he's going to win between 15 and 18 games and have an ERA below three.
How about this, because this may be maybe more important for the Red Sox rather than him winning a Cy Young, David Price will throw 200 innings.
Yes, absolutely. He'll throw north of 200, maybe even 215, 220. That's exactly why the Red Sox have made such an investment in him. They expect him to log those innings each year.
All right, staying with the starting rotation, the next bold prediction is Clay Buchholz will start 30 games at least.
I'd love to say yes, but it just never happens. So I'm going to say that Clay has another one of his little nagging injuries. The hope is that he's healthy at the right time. Last year he was not healthy at the right time. He was healthy earlier in the year, and the team didn't have him. Just when they were starting to make a run last year, a little bit in early July, he went down, and that really hurt the team. So you just hope that he can time it this year so he gets over whatever he's dealing with, and you have him come kind of race time and come playoff time, hopefully.
Do they have a different approach at this point? Because he's had so many injuries, when he tweaks something, are the Red Sox more careful now than maybe they used to be with Clay Buchholz just because they know everything he's been through?
Yeah, I think so. But, at the same time, it's like if his injuries were isolated to one spot, you could do it a little more like that. But the guy's been snake bitten. I mean, every year it seems like it's something different. One year it's the back, one year it's the hamstring. Last year it was the elbow. So it's not like there's an isolated area they can really say, let's go easy on him. But, Yeah, I think, you know, maybe you try to limit his pitch counts when you can, but, you know, there's only so much you can do. You just hope that, you know, maybe he finally has some good luck on his side this year.
All right, I got one more as far as the pitching goes, and I don't know if this one's bold. It's more of a wishy-washy question, but I like it anyway, and the bold prediction is the Red Sox will get a significant contribution from a rookie starter. Now, I say rookie, I'm going to put that in quotes because I want to include Henry Owens, and I know he's not technically a rookie anymore, but the Sox will get a significant contribution from a rookie starter.
I like it, and I agree, and I think Brian Johnson is going to be that rookie starter you speak of. Brian was a guy who he came up and had one start in July and then had some elbow problems that sort of ended his season early last year, but he's a he's a prospect they really like. He works quickly. He has good command, good poise out there. I think they'll bring him along slowly to start the year and have him stay in AAA to sort of get back the innings he lost last year. But by June or July, I think you could be hearing some buzz about Brian Johnson. Maybe he can make an impact similar to what Eduardo Rodriguez did last year.
The news tends to slow down a little bit across Major League Baseball. So this week on the podcast, we're going to go with some bold predictions. And the way we'll do this is I'll throw out the bold prediction, and then you can weigh in on whether you think it's something that could happen, something that definitely won't happen, and then, you know, what your reasoning is either way. So let's get right into it. And the first bold prediction for the Yankees in 2016 is Aroldis Chapman will lead the team in saves.
Well, Tim, last week I wouldn't have been able to answer that question, but Joe Girardi gave us some information that he has proclaimed Chapman as the closer. Obviously, we know about his off-the-field issues, and, you know, the commissioner of baseball might shorten his season a little bit, but I think I would have to agree with you that Chapman will lead the Yankees in saves this year. The one thing that I do want to say is Andrew Miller had such a great year last year. And, you know, obviously he could be an easy candidate to lead the team in saves, but he's such a good teammate. He's willing to accept any role, and he's admitted all he wants to do is win here. So it looks like Chapman's going to be the man. It looks like the Yankees are going to have one of the best bullpens in baseball, and with that, he's going to lead the team in saves.
Yeah, and it seems like the only thing that would get in his way would be a lengthy suspension, but I don't see any scenario where a suspension is more than maybe 40 games or something like that. So he's still going to be the guy to get the majority of those save opportunities for sure. Okay, our next bold prediction is Alex Rodriguez will hit his 714th home run to tie Babe Ruth's mark.
I don't see that happening. Alex had such a phenomenal year last year coming into the season where everybody had question marks. I'll admit, I didn't think that he would do anything like he did this year. I don't think there are too many people around baseball or even the Yankees who thought he would. With all that being said, you know, he's a year older. He's adapted to that DH role. But I just don't see the production continuing the way it did last year for the first couple of months. We saw at the end of the year he struggled a little bit. I'm sure fatigue was somewhat of a factor. So I don't think he's going to hit that number, but I think he's going to have a solid year.
He needs 27 to get there, which would be pretty impressive considering his age, but he was remarkable a year ago, so it'll be fun to watch. And it's always fun when you get to those milestones and the countdowns begin around the stadium. It should be exciting watching A-Rod in 2016. All right, our next bold prediction is that Jacoby Ellsbury and Mark Teixeira will combine to play at least 250 games. You got to do the math there a little bit.
It would, games, yeah. Yeah. You're putting my GW education to play right here. I am going to say that they will play at least 250 games. And the reason I say that, Mark was having such a great year last year, and, you know, the kind of a freak injury kind of sidelined him at the end of the season. I don't see that happening again. I know, again, he's a year older, but this guy keeps himself in unbelievable shape. Jacoby Ellsbury, he had the knee problems, and, you know, his career has kind of been one where he might battle the injury bug one year, and then he comes back and has a solid year the next. So I think the Yankees are banking on both of those guys being healthy for a full season. And to be quite honest with you, they both better be if the Yankees are going to try to make the playoffs next year, because Teixeira, obviously, with his injury, was kind of a freak thing. But Ellsbury, even when he came back and when he was healthy, was not a very good player in the second half. So they need both of those guys to stay healthy all year. They need Ellsbury to have a big bounce-back season, and I think both of them will combine to play the 250 games.
Yeah, my thought process with that number was, assuming if one of the guys is there all year, you'd figure about 150 games, and then that gives the other guy needing to get to the 100 mark. So I agree. I think they get there. I don't know if they'll be far over that, because I think they're going to want to give these guys some days off, but it'll certainly be interesting to track. And I agree, they have to get there if this team is going to be successful. Now, this next one maybe ties in with Teixeira a little bit, just because of whether or not he's on the field that often. And it is the next bold prediction: Greg Bird will hit at least 20 homers.
Am I allowed to say that I hope he does, but I don't think that he's going to? In my personal opinion, Greg Bird has to be on this team. And the Yankee front office and Brian Cashman specifically, they don't think that it's a fit right now, because you're planning on Teixeira being there and playing every day and staying healthy. With all that being said, I would love to see Greg Bird have some role on this team. Alex Rodriguez in the DH spot every day kind of limits his spot on this team. But everything he did last year, he filled in perfectly for Mark Teixeira. The bright lights of New York didn't faze this kid at all. He's proved to everybody in the organization and everybody around baseball he is a big leaguer, and a very good big leaguer. So I guess I hope he's going to hit 20, but I don't think he's going to get the playing time to be able to do that. And I think it's going to be one of those situations where a young kid is going to have to go back to AAA, keep his head up, play some good baseball, and wait for his opportunity.
He hit 11 home runs in just 46 games in 2015 at the major league level. You mentioned it, going back to AAA. That's going to be a mental thing, I think, because here's a guy who said, you know, he came up, he proved himself, everybody saw what he can do. So how much of a test is that for a young player to have to go back to that Scranton team and stay positive, stay upbeat, and not let it get him down?
You know what? One of the toughest things that I ever had to do in my big league career was go back down to AAA for a little bit with the Red Sox and the Tigers, and it's humbling. You realize how wonderful the major league life is, how you get treated first class all the way around. With all that being said, Tim, this kid is special. He's got his head on straight. I think he's the type of personality that knows what the situation is. He's not going to complain. He's going to go down there and play hard. And I expect him to go down there and put up some good numbers. And like I said, whether it's an injury, you know, a lot of things kind of work their way out in this game. So once Greg Bird goes to AAA, if he has to do it, I think he's going to handle it like a pro, and I think he'll be ready when he gets called back.
We're going to look ahead to the 2016 season, make some bold predictions as far as this team goes and as far as some of the players on this team go. So I'm going to throw out the prediction, and then you can tell me if you agree or disagree. Let me know why you think that. So our bold prediction number one is that Josh Donaldson will hit 40 home runs again.
Well, that's one I think I would agree with that one. You know, he'll definitely be in that range. He'll be in that 35 to low 40 range. So I think a 40 home run tally for him wouldn't be that surprising to me. I think that ballpark is just built for him, especially with that lineup the Jays have coming back for at least another year. He's got all kinds of protection in there. I think it's safe to assume that he will have, you know, barring health, he'll have another, you know, MVP caliber season like he did in 2015.
I was going to say a bolder prediction would be that he would win back-to-back MVPs. That would really be going out there. But you think he'll at least be in the discussion, so good to know.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you know, even going back to Oakland, I mean, this is a guy who finished top 10 in MVP voting his final 2 years in Oakland, and I think he's going to get even more attention in Toronto, as evidenced by the way things went in 2015. And I think you can expect more of the same in 2016. It'd be tough to hold up Mike Trout for yet another year, but I think at the very least he'll be in that conversation, and I think the home run tally will be one of the reasons why.
All right, we're going to stick with that explosive offense in Toronto. Bold prediction number two, the Blue Jays will have three batters drive in 100 runs.
Yeah, I think so on that one as well. And I think you're going to see a bit of a repeat performance in 2016 from the core of that lineup. I mean, especially when you're looking at guys like Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion entering the final years of their contract, you know, the motivation is at an all-time high for this group. personally and then also team-wise, because this could be the last shot for this current core. So I think that's a good recipe for success when you have that many highly motivated guys and the number of pieces in there. There's going to be a lot of guys on base and a lot of runs to drive in.
Yeah, Donaldson, Bautista, and Encarnacion all did it in 2015. So by bold, I guess we're basically hoping that they all stay healthy, because if those three guys are healthy in the middle of that lineup, you would think they're all going to drive in 100 RBIs. All right, we're going to move over to the pitching side a little bit here, and bold prediction number three, Marcus Stroman will make 30 starts.
I think that's a safe one as well. You know, I think the real question there is how effective those 30 starts are going to be. But I think this will be finally the year that Stroman comes through with a full season. And I guess say finally, because it seems like he's been around for a long time now. But in reality, he's only been around for two seasons, hasn't pitched a full season yet. I think this will be the year that he does it. The question will be the quality of those innings, and the Jays need him to step up as an ace. They need him to eat those innings in those 30 starts, but they also need them to be effective, and that's where the question mark's going to be, I think.
Now, I almost went with kind of that same prediction, but I almost went a little different direction and said Marcus Stroman will win 15 games, which I think speaks to what you were mentioning about the quality.
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to be a tough one. I would probably, if I were going to make a bold prediction, I would probably take the under on that, just simply because, I think that the popular vote right now would be that he's probably going to be over that tally. So I think I would go against the norm a little bit. But it's also, I think one important thing to remember here is that, Stroman is still pretty very inexperienced guy. And, we've seen, time and time again with the Blue Jays in particular, guys like Drew Hutchison who come in as the opening day starter, lots of high expectations. A lot of times it doesn't really work out. I think Stroman will be just fine, whether or not he can get to that 15-win tally and really, solidify himself as one of the game's, best pitchers in the American League East. That might be a tall order for a guy who has yet to throw a full season.
Stroman could be kind of a piece as far as this next bold prediction goes as well, or one of the guys they'll need to step up. But the next bold prediction is a Blue Jays pitcher will throw 200 innings.
Yeah, I think that's safe, because I think that R.A. Dickey is in position to do that again. In fact, I think he's probably the only one on the staff right now who would be in that position to do the 200 innings. I think Stroman, in the end, will ultimately fall just short of that. I think he'll be in the mix, and I think other guys will be there as well, whether it's a Marco Estrada or a J-Hap. I think you're probably looking more in like the 180 range for those guys. I think R.A. Dickey is the one pure workhorse left that's on that staff, obviously with Mark Burley having parted ways with the organization. And I think it's realistic to expect that Dickey will get back there again, probably right in that low 200 range, because when the bullpen needs some rest, he's a guy who often goes out and gets it done. And the fact that he throws a knuckleball, puts himself in a little bit of better position to do that. So I think he's probably got one more 200-inning season left in him, and I think he'll be in 2016.
All right, moving on, we get on the defensive side of things. A Blue Jay will win a Gold Glove.
Yeah, that's a great one. I think if it's going to be someone, it will probably be Kevin Pillar. Kiermaier took it away from him in 2015, but Pillar certainly has that ability. And I think a lot of people up in Toronto felt that he was deserving of that Gold Glove. And, I think Kiermaier and Pillar will battle it out again in 2016. And I think the big thing for Pillar is just going to be able to be staying healthy, because, he plays an all-out style of baseball on that hard turf. It can be very difficult, especially when you're slamming down on that concrete, to stay healthy. He was able to do it in 2015. But it's a reckless style of baseball. It's fun to watch, but it could lead to injuries in 2016.
So what we're going to do this week as we get into mid-January here and the news is kind of trickling out across baseball as far as the hot stove goes, is we're going to look ahead to the 2016 season, go with some bold predictions. So I'm going to fire out some bold predictions. You tell me if you think something that is going to happen isn't going to happen, and then let me know why or why not. So the first bold prediction I have for the Rays in 2016 is that Evan Longoria will hit 30 home runs.
I'd like to say that he will. I would say the last couple of years, have shown that, his home run production is down, and he hasn't hit If he hit 40 doubles last year, I would say yes. I think he's going to be over 20, but I think 30, based on the ballpark he plays in 81 games, is going to be challenging. That said, I do think some of the guys around him are going to be a bit better.
Yeah, in 2013, Longoria really exploded for 39, but when you look at his career as a whole, that's kind of not the norm. So we will see. I kind of agree, but I like the bold prediction that he'll do it, and the Rays would certainly use that power production. All right, we're going to move to the pitching side here. I have Chris Archer will win 15 games.
I think that one, I don't even know if I'd say that's bold. You know, I think that's reasonable. I think for Archer to win 15 games, you know, he was sub 500 last year with a lot of bad luck. And a lot of times, you know, your one loss rate is determined by the day you pitch on and who you're pitching against. You know, if he puts up similar numbers in terms of, you know, the runners allowed on base and puts up the kind of strikeout numbers and the strikeout to walk ratio he did last year, I think he could easily win 15 games. I think he could win much higher than that. If all things work out and the Rays score runs on the day he pitches.
Yeah, he's a huge example of the whole wins don't tell the story in baseball, because he was so good in 2015 and the record just didn't match that. Here's another spinoff for Chris Archer, though. How about this bold prediction? Chris Archer will cut his hair.
I'll go against that one. I don't think he's going to cut his hair anytime soon. I mean, he's gone from 7 1/8 to 7 5/8 on the cap size. I think, to me, the thing I love about Chris is that it really defines his personality. And, you know, in this Rays clubhouse, the players have a chance to do that. You know, I think they show tremendous respect for the game, but they're allowed to be individuals. And Chris is an individual that I think everyone on that club respects, not only because he's true to himself, but because of the work that he puts in on the field. He has fun off of it, but when it's go time, he's, you know, very serious about his craft.
All right, staying with the pitching theme, I have a bold prediction of Alex Cobb will start 20 games.
Ooh, I think he would be very happy to hear that. You know, I've talked to Alex on a couple of occasions, and I think that, you know, he would come back sometime in August. And if you're looking at August, September, you're probably more in that 10 to 12 range if everything worked out okay. So I would think that would be very, very bold, especially based on his timeline. This week actually started throwing or playing catch from 90 feet. So I think he's still on an early August time frame in terms of return. So that might be a little bit too bold. Although, again, he would be happy and the Rays would be happy if that happened.
Yeah, you'd think he'd have to be back by June probably to reach 20. And considering the amount of starting pitching depth that the Rays have, certainly no reason to rush him. So I agree, it'd be tough for him to get to 20. But, man, what an accomplishment that would be if he could do it. All right, let's get back to the lineup. But we're going to stay with that theme of number of games played. Desmond Jennings will play 100 games.
That would be huge for this team, I think. You know, and the question is how his knee is going to be. You know, there was a lot of talk last year that, you know, he's that he had a tooth infection, and that actually might have been the cause of his inability to come back from this knee infection. So I think there's hope that if he can get on the field for 100 games, I think it's a huge boost, because he brings multiple dimensions in which he can beat you if he is healthy. And that's an if, because the last couple seasons that's been a major issue. I mean, he can beat you with defense in left field, his ability to track down a baseball, his ability not only to steal a base, but to take the extra base on a base hit. And then beyond that, you know, for a guy who's normally hit near the top of the order, he has a lot more power than people realize.
All right, moving on with our bold predictions for the 2016 Tampa Bay Rays. Staying with the offense, a Rays player will hit 300. And I'm throwing this out there because it's hard to believe, but nobody on the Rays team hit 300 in 2015.
Well, you know, you go through the roster and also how difficult I think it is to hit in today's day and age. And I think hitting 300 is challenging, you know, because teams, especially in the American League East, you know, the East teams shift and use a lot more advanced data than any club. And I think for that reason, And the fact that they pay so much attention to advanced scouting reports, that I think it's harder and harder to put up those kinds of numbers. You know, I think more realistic is to have, you know, maybe multiple guys that are, you know, in that 370 on base percentage, because that means they're accepting their walks, and they're hitting for an average, and they're, you know, getting hits in the right spots at the right time. But to hit 300, you know, it's possible, but I would look at the roster in today's day and age. I really think that almost 280 is what 300 used to be.
Yeah, and you don't really need a guy to be hitting 300 in this day and age. And you mentioned 280. And the club MVP a year ago, Logan Forsyth, who we're going to talk to a little bit later, talk about a little bit later in the podcast, led the team at 281 last year. So that's right in that realm where you'd like to see guys. All right, I have one more big picture, bold prediction for 2016, Neil. The Rays will win 90 games. We're going to mix things up a little bit this week and go with some bold predictions. So I'm going to throw out the prediction, and you can actually tell me if you agree or disagree and maybe give a reason how it may happen or won't happen. But let's get right into it with your Orioles 2016 bold predictions. Number one, an Orioles starter will throw 200 innings.
Ooh, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say that is possible, is feasible for certain guys in that rotation. I think the fact that they're betting so heavily on these guys taking a step forward and they haven't really made any rotation upgrades lends credence to the fact that they feel like there's still a lot of room to grow, a lot of things left to be done. I think Chris Tillman is a guy who jumps out as a potential candidate for that. Certainly when you look at that rotation, a guy like Kevin Gausman could take a gigantic step forward. So there is room for that. I don't think that's quite as crazy.
All right, very good. So yay on the 200 innings. We're going to start heavy on the pitching side of things. And this is somewhat close to what we just talked about with the starters, but top prospect Dylan Bundy will throw 40 major league innings.
I'm going to go nay on that. I'm going to go no. I think obviously with Dylan Bundy and for the people who haven't really been following that closely, obviously, he's had a lot of injuries here over the last couple of seasons. He has to make the major league team because he's out of minor league options. If he's healthy, they're going to find a way to get him into that bullpen. But you're talking about a guy who hasn't been in the major leagues since, I think it was 2012, and even then it was a very last-minute September call-up, didn't really pitch. So to expect 40 innings out of him, to expect him to be healthy and that productive at the major league level, is a big jump. I'm going to have to say no.
I initially actually had the number at 50, and then I thought about it, and I was like, that's way too bold. There's no way he throws 50. I lowered it to 40, thinking maybe there was a chance, but obviously 40 is still tough. If somehow he managed to find his way into the rotation at some point, maybe, but I think we both agree that's unlikely. He's going to be in the bullpen, and 40 would be tough. All right, I got one more as far as pitching goes and the bullpen goes. Zach Britton will save 50 games.
Ooh, that one I could see happening. Again, a lot of things come into play out of Zach Britton's hands, such as the Orioles are going to have a lot of save opportunities. But what really helps him is the fact that Darren O'Day is the setup man before him. So late in games, if the Orioles have a lead, you got to feel pretty good about where this club is headed. And he's a guy who just consistently has proven that he is one of the best closers in baseball right now. So I don't see a reason why that can't happen, except, of course, if the Orioles aren't really in it, fall off as a team, struggle to put together wins in general, then, of course, Zach Britton doesn't have a whole lot of games to save, and really that equation doesn't come into play at all. But certainly if the save opportunities are there, I think Zach Britton is still a guy in the prime of his career, is still going to continue to get better. I don't see how he can't save 50 games if given that opportunity.
Yeah, we're calling these predictions bold, but he saved 49 games 2 years ago and 58 last year. So he's certainly a guy who's done it before. So as long as the team is good, I think, and he's healthy, I think it's definitely a possibility. All right, the next two bold predictions kind of go hand in hand, I think, but we'll do one and then the other. My next prediction is Chris Davis will be in the Orioles lineup on opening day.
Oh, boy. I was hoping there was going to be a Chris Davis question in there somewhere. I go back and forth with that. There are days when I talk to people and I really think Chris Davis is going to be a part of the Orioles, and then, and you know, another day or two passes and there's different reports and I talk to different people and it seems like, well, if he really wanted to be an Oriole, wouldn't he have taken their offer by now? So I have a really hard time taking a definitive stance on this. I think at the end of the day, if you're Chris Davis and you're smart and you want to do what's best for you financially in the long term, I don't know why you wouldn't take the Orioles offer, play in Baltimore, a place where you really turned your career around, make a lot of money doing it, and be financially secure. So I would lean a little bit towards yay here. I would say shades of yay, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if it doesn't happen, if that makes sense. I know I did my best to not answer that question, but it just seems that there's just so much still up in the air when it comes to that situation. And really, what would probably do it for me and help me have more of a definitive answer is nothing has really leaked out as to whether Scott Boras is seeking maybe a one-year deal for Davis now to retest that free agent market. We know he's not going to get that $200 million he wanted. Would he accept a one-year deal? Now, if he would, then I would put the Orioles' chances of keeping him a little bit lower, because I think in that event it really shows that he just does not want to stay. He really wants that $200 million.
Just a spinoff on Chris Davis, who do you think is winning the battle in the court of public opinion right now? Chris Davis, along with Scott Boras, or the Orioles front office who have made that big offer?
I think it's got to be the Orioles front office. I mean, it's really been fascinating to watch fans who, you know, are, you know, like to comment on the ownership, not spending money and things like that, have really kind of turned it around and said, you know what, it's too much money for him. I'm glad they made the offer, but, you know, just say no thanks and walk away. And the news of that offer leaking out was really a great thing for the Orioles, because if they sign Chris Davis, great. If they don't, great. It looks like they tried. Fans know they tried. So it's been good for them, certainly much better for them than it is Davis and Boras, because on that side of things, it looks as if there's no real market for Chris Davis. We haven't heard of any other offers, and they still are sticking firm to that $200 million, which is around what they want. So I think there's no question here the Orioles are winning that PR war.
All right, the next bold prediction may be tied in, like I said, with Chris Davis, but the prediction is an Orioles batter will hit 30 home runs.
Yes, I think there are guys in that lineup certainly capable of that. Manny Machado, I think another year of Manny Machado will go a long ways. Matt Wieters, people forget, before his Tommy John surgery, was in line to have a career year offensively. Adam Jones, another guy who often gets overlooked, I think, around baseball in general, but there are guys in that lineup fully capable of hitting 30 home runs.